What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, a movie podcast where our motto is, we just hope it doesn't suck. This is episode 374, broken up into two parts, A and B.
A, B.
Doing double duty today, Roger, doing double duty.
Yes, I had to do both of them.
so much hard work over there.
And so I had to really step up in Chris's absence.
374A, posting on 319, we'll be discussing on Kung Fu Panda 4. Any fun name you got for that one?
Kung Fu Panda? Fung Poo Panda?
Fung Poo Panda, all right.
And 37... Fung Poo Canda?
You know, it's funny, we can say that over and over again, and you probably won't say it the same way twice.
Fung Poo Canda, baby.
374B, posting on 322, we'll be discussing on Ricky Stenicki, a rated R comedy from Amazon. Wait, what was it rated R?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, I actually I have a lot to say about that one. I really enjoyed that one. But
I actually thought Ricky Stenicki was pretty goddamn funny.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell. Joining me as does every week is my co-host Roger Stillion. Chris has been. What happened to Chris? We didn't make up a story.
He's dead.
That's your go-to every time. You might want to get that like looked at by a psychologist.
No.
Every time someone's not there, you tell people they're dead. That's a little weird. I don't think Chris is dead.
It could be true.
I mean, it could be true, but it's also pretty morbid.
I haven't talked to him in a few hours, so.
I mean, I guess it could be true, but.
As far as I know.
I mean, it could be. It's as true as it could be not.
Listen, hold on. I didn't say that I wanted it to happen. I just said that I don't know where he is, and it could be happening.
It could be happening right now as we speak.
Yeah.
I don't think so. My version of Chris, I thought I was comfortable saying. I know he didn't want us to mention this on the show, but he has run off to live with Bigfoot in the woods. I know it's weird. I thought it was weird too, but he insisted upon it, so that's where he is for a week.
Which is also why he might be dead.
He also might be dead, but he also might be back for the B episode. I'm not quite sure. Whatever Bigfoot chooses to do to him, I don't know.
We're
going to find out. All right, what's going on this week? What's Roger been up to?
It's St. Patrick's Day today.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody! Although you'll hear this way after the day occurred, but
yeah, we recorded this on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, man, I met up with some friends of mine last night. Well, all day yesterday actually, and a bunch of us got together and drank some beers and had some fun. And
what'd you do?
I'm shooting basketball for several hours, which I'm regretting today. Like,
why are you regretting it? What part of your body is regretting
all
it the most?
It. All of it, actually.
That's pretty tough. I try to stay pretty active. I try, but I, like when I say try, I mean it gets harder and harder the older you get.
Because I honestly yesterday couldn't imagine. So besides randomly picking up a basketball and just throwing it at a hoop, I couldn't tell you the last time like I actually played any form of basketball, you know what I mean? Like against other people, like, you know, we weren't like doing like 3-on-3 or anything, but like there was a group of us and we played a couple rounds of horse and things like that, all while consuming alcohol, and it was fun. Nobody got hurt either. That was excellent. Yeah, nobody tried to do anything stupid.
Always a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I always, because do you remember when you like as a kid or like, do you know when kids fall down the stairs, like, They're incapacitated for like 10 minutes. You know, they're hurt. Yeah. But then like, and then the 10 minutes go by and they're as good as, they're right as rain, good as new. And as an adult, if you fall down the stairs, you're out of work for like 6 weeks. And
just to spin off that point, like I looked out my side mirror too hard a couple of days ago and felt my neck was like, ow. Like I was driving my car and I turned my neck too far and was like, ow.
Too far, too fast.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I had to guess I didn't limber up for the drive to work.
That's hilarious. Just the little things that didn't used to bother me are now starting to bother me. Like, yeah. I mean, I say that because like I'm kind of like, we're in like that weird like transition period from like, I'm still young to like, not so much anymore.
No,
but
I'm a little bit older now.
Yeah, but like, I'm definitely starting to see what that's like. And getting drunk. Like, that's the whole thing with like getting drunk is like the one measure that I just, having a hangover when you're like old, it's I might as well be dead because like your head is so just, it's awful, man.
Yeah, so I pretty much avoided most of the hangover. I will tell you though, because as it got later in the evening, one of my buddies had brought some cigars, and
smoking a good cigar is actually really nice, yeah, especially if you got a little bit of a buzz on. But like, I regretted that. Like first thing this morning, I was like, because I don't smoke. You know, I don't consume stuff like that on a regular basis. So I was definitely regretting that. My lungs were like, "Hey, bro, what are we doing here?" So, yeah, it happens.
Well, lovely things of aging, doing things as you do as you age.
Yep.
Interesting. What else did you watch? Anything good this week? Besides what we watched for?
Well, I watched, you know, obviously watched the two movies. What else? I did watch something I wanted to talk about. I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. I watched a lot of sports this week, though, so that was kind of nice. I was in Pittsburgh proper last night, too, so that was kind of cool. Going through that stuff. I didn't realize, like, so I was in a hotel last night and how much I miss my cable sometimes when I'm away and have to watch other people's channel lineups and things like that. I'm like, this is whack.
That's part of being old, man. That's the old man yelling at clouds syndrome right there. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing, right? So I wanted to watch something on Apple TV, right? And I thought, oh, you know what? I'm gonna like a newer, fancier hotel. I was like, you would think that this hotel had a smart TV in it. It does not. So like, I couldn't just scan and load in my Apple stuff and move along. It made me mad.
Well, a lot of them don't. And what makes it what's even worse is a lot of them you can't even like plug anything in the back either. Yeah. Like it won't let you HDMI like your Apple TV like or anything. Like that. That like why? What are you trying to like? Why? Let's if someone wants to bring their own entertainment, let them bring their own entertainment.
Why should you care? I mean, I thought about that too because I thought, you know what, I should have because I have a Fire Stick that I can just pop out, has its own little plug, plugs right into the TV, doesn't need anything else, and I just could have been on it in like less than 5 minutes once I got it connected to the internet. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, who knows? Indeed, but yeah, I always thought that was kind of weird. All the hotel traveling I do, but yeah, it is what it is. What else? Anything else? Or is it, what's the weather like in the Ohio Valley?
What did you watch this week?
Well, should you ask, I did. I watched Early Damsel. That'll be an interesting discussion for next week. And by interesting, I mean furious discussion for next week. I do want to start a segment, and I mean this is never going to happen, but I do want to start a segment. Say, you know, like Houston, we have a problem. Like Netflix, we have a problem. Netflix, you have a problem. And you and Chris will see when we talk about it next week what the deal is with Damsel. But like it starts out so well, and by the end, it's the opposite of that. it's really kind of interesting how they manage to pull that off because they make a lot of wrong decisions right in a row, and it's like, why would you do this? But that's for next week. That's a big Netflix movie with Millie Bobby Brown. I also want to pose a question, and we're going to get into this more next week, is if you're only a movie star on Netflix, are you a movie star?
I mean, the answer is yes, but I do understand your point. You know, she's got this deal with Netflix. There's a lot of Netflix stuff, so...
Well, this is more discussion for next week because the question was posed to me and I found it interesting because my initial reaction was, well, yes, of course you are. It's movies. But then like you, I was like, well, I mean, not really, but we'll see for next week.
I mean, she's done plenty of other stuff though.
Sure. Sure has, but let's get into that next week. But it'll be an interesting topic for discussion. Weather's great here. It's like 65 and sunny. I don't know what it's like there. But it's,
well, so here's the thing. We had a couple of days this week. We had back-to-back 70s that were sunny days here.
There you go.
So.
Yep. Well, let's start the show.
Yes.
This is episode 374 of For the Love of Cinema, a podcast about movies, film, and cinema. It's posted each and every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. on Podbean, and then distributes to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and now YouTube. Each and every week, we start the box office, current and upcoming releases, what streaming trailers and movies of the week. Without further ado, we'll jump into the box office. However, there is further ado, so I shouldn't have said without further ado. It's happened like 3 times since the show started, and we're on episode 374 split, so it's more like 500 or 600. But I just went to bed Thursday night, and I didn't schedule the post for Friday morning. And like the second time it's ever happened in like 7 years. Which brings me to another point of, so Roger, you're gonna have to pull double duty and post both on YouTube for us this coming week.
Oh,
very exciting! Thank you, sir.
All right then.
All right, let's get started. Without further ado, this time, jumping in the box office. You may be surprised to know, Roger, or you may not be, that Kung Fu Panda 4, another $30 million in the box office, bringing a total of $176 million worldwide, which, you know, that's kind of expected, I would say. Dune Part 2, $29.1 million with a worldwide of $494 million, still steadily climbing, very respectable number that is. Arthur the King, $7.5 million domestic, $7.5 million total. Not a great start for that one. And here's the oddball. Have you looked at this yet?
Yes.
Imaginary.
Yep.
It is. It's so Imaginary this week has done another $5.6 million, bringing the worldwide to $21.8 million, which is interesting because, well, last week it was at like $10 million or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it means it opened somewhere else and another $5 million there.
Well, sure, but I mean we've now doubled. But I didn't think it was going to see another $10 million. That's kind of odd to me. But I thought that movie was done before it came out. But
I don't think.
Anyway, that's for me. It's weird. But Cabrini number five, $2.8 million with a worldwide of $13.1 million. Not great for Cabrini.
No.
But again, that's like a super niche release anyway.
Yeah.
6 through 10, Love Lies Bleeding is number 6. Number 7, Bob Marley, One Love. 8, One Life. 9, The American Society of Magical Negroes. Number 10, Ordinary Angel, still hanging on. Roger, you'll be happy to know Migration is out of the top 10.
Oh, yeah, finally.
So is Oppenheimer. So is Madame Web. So is Wonka. Just saying. Hmm. So, those things are happening in the box office world. Nothing crazy. Shame. Well, I've had some interesting conversations with some long industry people that I'll talk to you and Chris about before we talk about it on the show. But we may have a guest soon. Very excited about that.
Good.
Very like excited guests. About that. Indeed you do. Let's talk about some upcoming releases. This past weekend, March 15th, brought us the American Society of Magical Negroes, Arthur the King, Love Lies Bleeding went wider in One Life. March 22nd, The Boy and the Heron is re-released. Are you going to try to watch that in English dub, or are you going to try to watch it again at all, or no?
I mean, when it becomes available on digital, I'm not going to a theater to watch it, no.
Fair. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is this coming week. Very excited for that. Immaculate. Yes. Pixar's Luca is re-released, which will do nothing. I actually had a question about that. I'll think about it as I go on. Problemista goes wider. March 29th. As we would have our Easter movie, is Godzilla Cross Kong, The New Empire, and In the Land of Saints and Sinners. April 5th, The First Omen.
As God had willed it,
yes. April 5th, The First Omen, Monkey Man, and Wicked Little Letters goes wider. April 12th, Civil War. Yeah, buddy, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Sting. Roger, you posted a very interesting article about Civil War.
I did, so I sent it to you and Chris. Had you guys look it over? Hope you did, because like it's
yeah.
So one of the things is with Civil War, they say it's one of the best interpretations of a war movie from a journalism side that they've ever put on the screen. And I was like super excited about that because that means it'll be like pseudo documentary style, I think. And I think a movie like Civil War would be perfect for some shit like that.
Well, if you remember, Zero Dark Thirty kind of had that element about it too. Mm-hmm. And that movie was fantastic. So for people to say
that's
that,
fun family film.
Yeah. Well, but for people to talk about this one in the same light as that one, which won multiple Academy Awards, very good thing.
Definitely excellent company to be part of.
Yes, I agree. I'm very excited about that one as well.
Yes.
And what about Sting? Have you watched the trailer yet for Sting?
No, and I won't. So Sting is dead to me.
Sting is dead to me. April 19th, Abigail. Hard Miles, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and
Boy.
I actually have someone working on the film I'm working on who worked on that, and they were telling me all these cool factoids, and I'm even more excited to watch it now. Because
who doesn't love a factoid?
A factoid. Well, you told me some really cool scenes that they shot, and like he's like, I couldn't see it piecing together, but like now that I've seen the trailer and know what they shot, I'm very excited to watch it. So very excited about that. Sasquatch Sunset, I did say it right, goes wider. Challengers, April 26th. We'll start with a little bit of May. May 3rd, which is The Fall Guy, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and Tarot. Probably some weird horror movie with tarot cards.
Yeah, probably.
May 10th, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That's being advertised everywhere out here in Los Angeles.
Super excited for that. I hope that's good.
I really do. I like the other three. Those are really good.
Yeah, I think they've all been very good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about see where they go with that one. I have an idea where they're going simply because of the little girl, but I want to see where that's going. And May just gets bigger going from there, but we'll get into that one in weeks to come. Weeks to come indeed. Let's talk about what's streaming. Only two of us this week on our rotation on Amazon. I chose one of my favorite movies of all time, and I cannot talk about this movie enough. Field of Dreams by director Phil Alden Robinson, Kevin Costner, Amy Madigan, James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, Timothy Busfield, Burt Lancaster, and Frank Whaley. 1989. I love this movie. I think this movie is one of the top movies I've ever seen. Now, it could be a personal choice, could not be. I just think the writing is fantastic. I think the casting of Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, spectacular. Yeah. There are some of these sequences in this movie that I think are some real magic in cinema. And I'm talking of the five best sequences I think I can reference in the past 50 years. That's no longer like 1950 and up. So in my mind, 50 years ago was always 1950 and 20 years ago is the 80s, but that's not the case anymore. So yeah, maybe the past 60 or 70 years, I would say some of the top five scenes in cinema for me, The Last Samurai has two of them. This movie has two. And I would say The Last of the Mohicans has one of them. So there's so much good to like in this movie about if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. That's where that comes from. I really do hope. Now, there was a sequel with who's Shark Boy and Lava Girl? Who's Shark Boy? What was his name? Taylor Lautner?
Taylor Lautner?
There is a sequel with Taylor Lautner.
Wait, are you fucking for real?
Field of Dreams 2. I just found this out not too long ago. I know, and I'm going to watch it.
I bet it's fucking awful.
I bet it's terrible. It's the same picture. It's only, you know how like the poster picture was him standing, like Kevin Costner standing like one leg in front of the other on the baseball field?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Taylor Lautner on a football field. So... Good. And it wasn't too many years ago that came out, so
perfect.
I've been meaning to get my hands on a copy of that to watch it, but I always thought that this movie would be a perfect 30 years later sequel for what happens when James Earl Jones comes out of the core, and what did he see in there? What is in the next life? How did he get there? Who did he spend time with? We're not going to have James Earl Jones for that much longer.
His soul was being tortured in hell.
All these questions can be answered and more in the 30 years later sequel. I'm just saying.
Run for your lives.
But that's a hell of a movie. Best Picture winner 1989. Man, sure. It's one of my favorite movies. And Roger, you chose one that a lot of people from your generation will also look back on very fondly. Young Guns by director Christopher Kane. Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney, Terrence Stamp, Terry O'Quinn, among others, 1988.
I mean, listen to that. Listen to that lineup right there. Like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, Charlie Sheen, Emilio, all those guys. And, you know, story of Billy the Kid. That was Emilio Estevez's character, Billy the Kid. So they, it really is like a stylized, like, comedy action movie from, like, the late 90s. But it was a Western, so people loved it. Like, this, and, you know, I'm sure there were, like, if this movie came out now, we would just do your shit all over it. Like, there's no way. We'd be like, I can't believe this. But because it's like the late 80s, early 90s, it gets forgiven for that. And like, it had like the iconic Bon Jovi song, Wanted Dead or Alive, as part of it. You know what I mean?
But like, it also, but you don't, that cast also very much of the time is like kind of kept it from being, you know, it like protected it from camp without making it, but like, with adding its own level of campiness to it. Does that make sense? You know?
Yes, it does.
And like, I don't know. I think you're right about that. If this movie came out today, we would just crap right all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the same, this is the same script, even like just different cast members, which it wouldn't be taken seriously. It just wouldn't. But you know, film evolves and you know, scripts evolve over time. So sure. I think that's the case. But I mean, how many times did you watch this in the theater, Roger? Tell me.
In a theater? Never.
Oh, why?
On VHS tape. Though, because my parents had it many, many times. And also, did you know that Tom Cruise is in the first Young Guns movie?
I may have known that at one point, but then you just caught me off guard. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's in there for like 30 seconds as like a one bad guy.
Oh, Wow, that's pretty cool, actually. I might check that out. Scope it out. Because we're getting another one. Aren't we getting another, like, Young Guns 3?
I think so.
I think Emilio's directing it. I think Emilio's making that. I really do. I think that's the case. I mean, look, I think it's cool. I mean, I just... Now the question remains, are they going to try to make it serious, or are they going to keep the camp of the first two?
Yeah,
because like it's been like 35 years, man. Like, things have, we've moved past that kind of filmmaking so much now that you'd almost have to go serious with it. But otherwise, you'd come off like an Adam Sandler comedy almost if you didn't. But it is what it is.
Like Grown Ups, except like, Young Guns.
You know what's my guilt? Well, I mean, he did the Ridiculous Six.
Yeah.
You remember? I actually didn't. I think that movie's hilarious. I'll watch it over and over again, but the movie's bad. But it makes me laugh over and over again. It just does. I don't know why, but.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Blech.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it for what it was. Let's talk about some trailers.
Okay.
I'm really excited. How excited are you for The Wild Robot? And how much are you going to cry?
So probably one, very excited, two, very probably much, like a lot of tears. So, I mean, like, look, dude, this is the How to Train Your Dragon team, like the actual team from How to Train Your Dragon working on their newest project. And like, look, those people always have my interest. Some of the under the radar stuff that they've done besides How to Train Your Dragon. Like, remember the movie Abominable?
Yeah, but that was, like, charming in its own way.
Yeah, no, that movie was awesome. And, like, it just didn't make any money, but it was an excellent movie.
You're right, so. And especially with the voice cast of Lupita Nyong'o, Pedro Pascal, Catherine O'Hara, Bill Nye, those are excellent, excellent performers.
I honestly think, though, if they were doing it, they should do it like WALL-E, where nobody talks at all.
You know, after seeing this trailer, I thought that might be the case, but then I saw, of course, the voice cast, and that's not the case, but...
It looks beautiful.
Oh, yes, it does.
Excellent song choice for the trailer, too. Like, wow. So, I was here for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Like, listen, that's an A-plus trailer. So, fucking dug it, man.
Well, it's a teaser, but I really hope we do get a trailer sometime soon. Yeah, but I'm as soon as, whenever you're right about when you see, like, from the same studio, How to Train Your Dragon, like, they have unlimited permission for me to make whatever they want, because they can do it. I mean... God damn, those movies are
also
so
make
good.
How to Train Your Dragon 4, you cowards.
You cowards.
Just keep doing them.
I don't, they're doing that live action one. I just don't know how I feel about it. I just don't know.
I didn't ask for that.
I didn't ask for that either. And I was just going to say that. Like, you and I are two of the biggest How to Train Your Dragon fans on the planet. Like, we didn't ask for that. I'm a little worried about if they're going to ruin it, which is almost assuredly yes, because of what Disney's been doing. But have we gotten a DreamWorks live? Is this the first DreamWorks live action?
This would be the first one. And nice. I mean, like, look. I'll give them some credit. At least they pick a good movie to go at it.
That's true. I mean, look, doing Shrek live action would have been difficult, I think. It would have been weird. I don't think they could have pulled that one off.
No.
But I think they can pull off Dragon easier than Shrek. It's just, there's too many other elements in Shrek that wouldn't have worked on the, I think, for an adaption. But we're both excited for that one, there's no doubt. The idea of You with Anne Hathaway, Nicholas Galitzine, Graham Norton. What are we thinking about this feature?
R-rated rom-com? I don't know. Like the idea, like the premise behind the trailer's not bad. The premise behind it, you know, woman meets guy who's famous and
older, younger guy.
And you know, it's about their relationship, you know, with him being famous and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if we got to watch it, sure, I hope it's good, but like, this isn't anything that would really be on my personal radar, but because it is R-rated, at least, you know, I have hope, because listen, R-rated rom-coms tend to be better, like, better made movies, I've realized, than any of the PG-13 Drek we get anymore.
They tend to be funnier, and the thing about R, it depends on how, and I really do think this is a little bit of foreshadowing here, is I really do think that it gives me hope that that we're talking about this trailer after we've watched and are going to talk about Ricky Stenicki, because Ricky Stenicki makes a lot of correct choices, and in the way of putting it in a real life setting, you know. And I'm really excited to talk about that later. But also, yeah. I think that, I mean, I think it's important to note that the idea of You's coming from Prime. Now, that could be good or bad depending on for me, it tends to be a little on the negative side because of what, you know, what's been going on lately with all the streaming services. But who knows? This could be great. I really hope it is. Who was the one? Do you remember when the pandemic first hit? Prime put out a movie about two people dating, but they were in the. Was that? It was Chiwetel Ejiofor. Was it Anne Hathaway?
It was, I think.
I think so.
Where like they were breaking, or like they were trying to get divorced in like the beginning of COVID,
the beginning of a pandemic. I don't think that we hated it, but I just kind of think it was middle of the road for us.
Yeah,
but I mean that is another serious toned, movie set in our world in with Anne Hathaway on Prime. So
yeah,
it's not the worst, you know, like guiding point to go off of, but. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I love these rom-coms, dude. I will every day. I'll watch these. I'll watch 10 a day if I can get them. I just love them, but we'll see where they go with it. But I'm excited for that one as well. And Hitman with Glenn Powell, Handsome Glenn, handsome son Glenn. Of a gun. And Adrio Arjona. What are we thinking about this one?
It is just a teaser. What this is about, so.
Well, it is just a teaser.
He's a hitman.
Well, I mean, given Glenn Powell, I'm sure they're going to make it some kind of he's a good-looking hitman, but other things are in play, you know. I mean, you know what I've come on. Glenn Powell is a certain kind of guy, so
I can't wait for Glenn Powell to star in like a Saw movie.
You think he will?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I think Glenn Powell's made a lot of right choices in the past couple of years. Let's just hope he keeps doing it. That's all I'm saying. Let's just hope he keeps doing it.
Yeah, no.
I really do wonder how Twisters is gonna be received.
Then I guess we'll find out.
Because they're really putting a lot of money behind that one. A lot of advertising dollars going behind that one, so we'll see. But I imagine it's going to be kind of lukewarm reception because is Twister on a lot of like young kids' radar? Is that a movie that, you know?
Oh, no, I really did dig the old Twister though.
Well, because it's a great movie. But if you weren't like
that movie was called Lockdown with Anne Hathaway.
Lockdown.
I couldn't remember it, so I had to go look it up.
Yeah, I knew it was something, but I knew it was Anne Hathaway too, but. Yeah, I don't know about Twisters, but Glenn Powell's on a streak right now. So, and Anyone But You is still fucking making money in the theater. It's like number 14 still on the weekly intake. So, just saying. All right, gentlemen. Well, no, gentleman.
Gentle person?
Question mark? That is it for the trailers. You can check that out on our social. The Wild Robot, The Idea of You, and Hitman. It's actually kind of quite the gamut. A theatrical, a Prime, and a Netflix. All there for your viewing pleasure.
A little bit of everything.
Let's talk about the movie of the week, Roger, if you will, sir. Kung Fu Panda 4 with Jack Black. Let's get into it, shall we?
Funku Panda.
Funku Wanda Candy? I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I don't know. Let's talk about some particulars. But first, the Rotten Tomatoes. Can you guess what the tomato meter and the audience score is?
I haven't looked. I actually have no idea. I assume, here's the thing. I bet you they're positive.
Well, just give me a guess for the tomato meter.
77.
Not bad. 71.
Hmm.
And the audience score is 86.
I say I figured it'd be higher. Sure.
I don't know if I agree with either of those numbers, but we'll see. Get into it. With a Metacritic of 56.
That's fine.
Which I don't think is dreadful. Certainly room for improvement, but I don't think it's terrible. Let's talk about the movie with Jack Black, Awkwafina, Viola Davis, Bryan Cranston, Ki-Hoo Kwan, Dustin Hoffman, Ian McShane, James Hong, Seth Rogen, to name a few. All bring
much
their
smaller cast this time for a Kung Fu Panda movie.
Yes, they all bring their voice stylings to a movie directed by Mike Mitchell, with a screenplay by Glenn Berger, Jonathan Abel, and Darren Lemke. Roger, what's Kung Fu Panda 4 about?
It took three people to write this?
It did, indeed.
Wow.
What's Kung Fu Panda 4 about, buddy?
So, I mean, like, look, this is another Kung Fu Panda movie. That's where I want to start. I want you people to understand. If you've seen the previous three Kung Fu Panda movies, this movie will fit right up your alley. It's probably not as strong as those, but it fits just fine in that universe. Also, if you have never seen another Kung Fu Panda movie, this movie's probably not going to matter to you in any real capacity. So,
I don't know how true that is, though, and I'll tell you why, but go ahead.
It's a fine kids movie, right? Like, I don't consider this one a family movie. I think this one's straight for kids. You know what I mean? And I got no problem with it. You know, I went to a theater. I didn't have my daughter with me, but there, you know, there were plenty of families of kids there, and it felt like a kid's movie. That, you know, they laughed when they were supposed to laugh. They were like, oh, you know, when at the end when people are stepping out of fire and things like that. You know, they did all the kids stuff that you're supposed to do, and I'm fine with it.
Did you not take your daughter because she didn't want to go, or because you just couldn't fit it in at the time?
I just couldn't fit it in at the time.
Is this a movie you think she'd like when one day when she sees it on streaming, or she won't care for it?
She probably won't care.
Fair enough. So here's the thing about Kung Fu Panda.
We did have her birthday at Kung Fu Panda 3 once. Ooh, so all the way back, whatever years ago that was.
2016, dude.
God
Wait,
damn it. That's so long ago.
I know, isn't it? It's almost like obnoxiously long ago. Because it seems like just yesterday. I think it was 2016. I have no idea. But so let's talk about it for 1 second. Now, here's the thing. Kung Fu Panda, I remember watching Kung Fu Panda. I watched it in protest because I thought it was a stupid movie, and I ended up loving it like I do for all the animated films.
It was 2016 for 3.
Yeah, okay, so I remembered it being. But I have absolutely no recollection of 2 and 3 outside of the fact that when I watched Kung Fu Panda 3, I remember thinking to myself, okay, that's the end. Every plot line has been closed. Arcs are done. Everyone is happy. We'd only got 3 of these. That's fine. Now, I don't know how they decided, you know what, let's make a 4th Kung Fu Panda movie.
Well, I like the idea behind the 4th one, because if you pay attention, so this is there is a time jump from the end of the last Kung Fu Panda movie to this one, like a good one, you know, like 8 to 10 years, because that's like what it's been in real life. You know, this is about Po, you know, the Kung Fu Panda, making his next steps, you know, to not always be the dragon warrior, you know, to go down the path of mentorship like he was supposed to. And this is about him being afraid to make that step and two, finding someone else suitable to take over the position. So, like, I understand this. Like, I think it's a perfectly viable story in the Kung Fu Panda universe. Like, I agree. Find it too outside of the realm of.
I didn't think it was. I mean, the only one I remember with any kind of memory, and I don't know why, I must have been high when I watched the second or third one, but I only remember the first one. I've only seen it when it came out. It was. I remember. Well, as far as relating this one to that one, this one seems to fit right in the same universe, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no, like, it's not like, well, does it even fit? Yeah, I think it fits. And I mean, I don't remember if the voice cast is alarmingly different. I think there might be a few different swapped out ones, but I remember when I walked out of this one thing, okay, it fits from what I remember. It fits in the universe. And that's, I think, one of the important things when coming to like making an animated film like 8 years later, is like, does it fit in the same universe as it was?
Well, the one thing I will say about Kung Fu Panda 4 as a movie, and you know, you'll understand it when I score it, like, this movie's fine.
It is, you're right.
Like, there's never really a low point in the movie, but the high points aren't really that high. Like, it's slightly better than middle of the road. And I think when you're making a movie that's 8 years later, that's where you gotta be, because like, this is a different generation of kids going to see this movie. You know, most of the kids that were, you know, 4 and 5 years old have moved past Kung Fu Panda at this point, you know, try to get those kids to come back. But it's for a whole new generation of adults with children to come see this movie. So
I think so. It's a tough sell, because I mean, those kids could, the parents are in a different place, the kids are in a different place. Like, yep. I mean, it's a tough, that's why I'm kind of don't understand why this movie's making a ton of money, because why do people care
again,
about
though,
it?
It's a good kids movie. And it's got an established track record, which is probably what brings it in. I mean, it's going to be number one again after, you know, another week. And not because Dune's doing bad or anything. It's just outpacing it. Like, we had a, you know, just a little inside how we do things here. You know, sometimes we're split on what movies to do. And, you know, it came down between this and Imaginary. And, you know, it's never been a thing on the show. I've never shied away from, like, I don't really like scary movies or like horror movies along that line, but like, Imaginary wasn't making any money. It's getting not great reviews. So we went where the money went. So, and I'm happy I saw this movie. Like, I guarantee you, I enjoyed it far more than I would have enjoyed Imaginary.
I have a feeling you're right about that, given given my how I feel about certain films. I have a feeling you're right about that, because again, I went into this movie thinking, God damn it, I hate it when Chris and Roger forced me to watching it. And then I walked out of the movie like I had a big smile on my face,
yeah,
and
it was all right.
I had a good time with it. Like I had a good time. Yeah. Like you forget. I don't. Other people may not, but for myself, you know, I was pleasantly surprised like how good Jack Black is at still voicing characters. Mm-hmm. You know, no longer in his prime, but. I think Jack Black, I definitely have the vibe, and I think it's important for Jack Black also doing Bowser and Mario is,
yes,
it seems like he really, really gets into these things. Like he really puts his whole self into
it. He's perfect for things like this. Like absolutely perfect for things like this.
I agree. And that's why I was just giddy the whole time. Like I had a stupid grin on my face the whole time watching this. And I mean, the story elements, they don't all make any sense.
No.
But I mean, I'm fine, and I'm glad I got to hear Dustin Hoffman's voice, and I'm glad I got to hear Ian McShane.
Sure, that guy was nice to have him back, because like, look, dude, Ian McShane fucking rules.
He's got one of those voices, dude, that you just love.
You just know who it is. The other thing too is like, so we're coming off, you know, we had quite a streak, you know, before Dune of like, you know, trying to work through Oscar movies. And, you know, a bunch of stuff like that to get caught up on stuff that was getting awards. And sometimes those movies, you know, we watched a few of them, like Poor Things and stuff like we weren't really all into. And it's stuff that, you know, we feel obligated that we have to watch, you know, just because they're getting all this thing. It was really nice to have a week legitimately with both movies, which I actually enjoy both of them, that I didn't have to like work my brain to think about anything, you know, like the plot for Kung Fu Panda 4 isn't some fucking brain buster here. You know what I mean? It's just,
I think it's pretty generic.
From point A to point B to point C to point D to the end. And it's like a hard 90 minutes, brother. I mean, like, boom, boom, boom. We're just moving right along.
With a bonus Britney Spears song sung by Jack Black. So I consider that a bonus because that's funny to me.
It was funny.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, you're right. It's not super long. You're in and you're out without too much of a time commitment. Here's the thing about that, and I know that, you know, you guys, Roger and Chris and myself, I think it's easy to, until I came out here again, like, I tend to forget, too, that, like, because we're, you know, when we're all three in the studio, we're all in, like, the Ohio Valley proper area.
Yep.
You know, you can drive to a movie theater, park, and walk right in, walk to your auditorium. In a big city like this, you know from, like, Columbus and Pittsburgh, like, it's not always quite that easy.
Nope.
And no matter what theater I go to here, no matter what AMC. By the way, I'm up to 63 individual. I've seen movies in 63 theaters now across the country.
Yeah, but, all right.
It's an event because you got to go into a parking structure. You got to find a spot. You got to get a ticket. You got to watch the movie, then validate your ticket, then wait in line to get out. Like it's not. So I tend to forget those things, and it's important for me to get perspective. Going to a movie theater for a lot of people isn't just simple drive up to the mall, park, walk in, go to your movie. It's much more complicated than that. So, but for a movie like this, I think it works well because it's shorter. Sorry, my rambling was going on to say because it's a shorter movie, it's an easy in and out. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I know you and Chris really appreciate that also. So
yeah, I mean, like it does matter for people that have kids. You know, like I don't have 2.5 hours to commit to Kung Fu Panda. You know. Especially because, like, you know, I'm used to not watching a whole lot of the trailers anymore because, you know, I'm going to be snobby for a second. I consider myself fairly in the know when it comes to movie trailers. So, like, I'm rarely surprised. You know, generally, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a trailer attached to a movie that I hadn't already seen. You know what I mean? So,
right,
like, I'm not looking for anything new. So, like, I don't need to be there and watch, you know, 20 minutes of this. So, like, I got there 5 minutes before the movie started, watched the tail end of the last trailer, sat down with my drink, and 95 minutes later, I'm back in my car and I'm gone. You know?
Well, for a kid's movie, that's probably how it should be.
Yes. I mean, listen, I would say that for many movies, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of movies would benefit from.
Well, think about Dune, right? Because like Dune's a long movie, and it had the max amount of full length trailers on it. Like Dune by itself had 30 minutes of trailers on a movie that's 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
So you're
and I'm not saying Dune was too long, but like that experience, like most families with kids, you can't do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Like
I sat there with an erection most of the time, so it's fucking great.
A Dune erection, yes, indeed. Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. And I think for this one, it's important, though, that it's... I think the studios a long time ago learned that length for kids' movies has a direct correlation to how much money will be made. And that's pretty much...
Like, 100 minutes is, like, your max, for real.
I mean, what about... And then trailers?
Well, I'm really indifferent on trailers, because... But, I mean, it shouldn't be more than 20 minutes.
I've always been kind of a fan of, like, you know, when you're looking at a movie time, there should be, for each time, there should be two movie times right there. One when the trailers start and one when the movie's supposed to start.
Well, so here, just to put it in perspective about the 100 minutes thing, How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World, which is a masterful movie, right? Like, as excellent as, you know, a family kids movie can be, is 104 minutes long. You know what I mean? Like, that number matters.
I think it does.
Actually, how long are all these? Let me just look.
They're not long. None of the Kung Fu Panda films are long. I don't think they expected the first one to be such a hit, because that's why we got, of course, so many of them. But
not a single How to Train Your Dragon movie is more than 105 minutes.
Hmm. Really?
So yeah. Yeah.
They seem longer than that.
It's because they're good.
At least the second one seems longer than that, or the third one does. But well, yeah, I'm wrong about that. But so coming back to Kung Fu Panda 4, which, you know, it's so we have finished out the arc with the trilogy of He is the Dragon Warrior, everything is as it should be, and now we have this weird fourth installment. So what do you do with it? Well, you kind of bring back what appears to be an old antagonist. And you frame it differently, and then you give Poe yet another lesson to learn,
yep.
And you give him another hurdle to conquer, but a different reason. And I think the sensei, who is that master, what's his name, Dustin Hoffman? Master Shifu.
Shifu, because Shifu and Oogway is the turtle.
Yeah, Oogway is the turtle, and Shifu is... I think they frame it well. You never stop learning, Poe. There's always something to learn.
Yeah. How to instill wisdom on someone else, you know, it's another step forward. Because that's the big part of this one, is teaching others, not just learning yourself. Even though you have more stuff to learn, you have to teach as well.
Correct. And they use the staff to put a lot of that into perspective, which I thought was an interesting way to do it.
Would you like to know why I think we get a fifth Kung Fu Panda movie sometime?
Why do you think that?
Because I think Poe has to have a family.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think that's probably in the card. I would have thought that had been the card for the fourth one, but is it too abrupt? Like
that, nothing like that at all in this one, though.
No, not even close.
Like, not even a sniff of it. So
no.
I kind of had an idea like that might be a storyline that we dealt with here, and it is not at all. So,
yeah, I did. I don't... Now, if... I did find the villain kind of... really just generic in every way.
I don't blame you. But, I mean, look, she's voiced by Viola Davis.
Which is, of course, A-list talent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with the voice. It's a problem with, like, I just... But in a movie like Kung Fu Panda, where Jack Black is the attraction as Poe, like, don't you... Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the villain, it's okay not to be as strong because, you know, you have Jack Black's comedy voice stylings is what people come to see, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, too. At no point did you ever not think that he wasn't going to win.
Well, of course not. Well, I mean, you do for like a second, then you realize.
You?
Well, I mean, otherwise the movie wouldn't be doing its job, and I think the movie does its job well. But I mean, as far as we've been conditioned that a movie like that is not going to end without a victory, then sure.
I do appreciate that they killed people in this movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so. I thought that was a good idea, actually. Again, I don't mind like a little more of an adult kind of tint on things. I don't mind that at all. I think that's
also what happens to a regular person if you get drugged to the spirit world.
I think you're just dead, right?
Mm. That's another body.
Something that they're never going to talk about. But you're right, and I think it's important to keep in mind like what Kung Fu Panda 4 is, which is I think they did a fine job of here. Here's my complaint about this movie is I just don't think we needed another one.
No, that's very fair.
And I'm always the guy.
There's nothing wrong with this movie, but why does it exist?
And I'm always the guy that wants more story to be told if there is, and I can't in my own head rationalize a fourth Kung Fu Panda. Now maybe the third one just made such an obscene amount of money that they had to, that they couldn't say no to.
Sure,
cashing
and I'm sure
in.
So, if I do remember correctly, and I'll look it up here in a minute, they do bring in real money. And the thing with this movie too is this movie's budget is only like $85 million, so it's already doubled that. So, like, they're going to continue to make plenty of money off of this.
Sure, and it's the theater I watched it in on a Saturday night was pretty packed. So it doesn't show any signs of, like, slowing down, I guess, for the next few weeks. Because with all the, I mean, it's going to be the number one earner next week as well, I imagine.
Kung Fu Panda 3 made $521 million.
Off of what budget?
I don't know yet. Kung Fu Panda 2 made $665.
Jeez. I'm sure the first one made somewhere in that same realm.
And the original Kung Fu Panda made $632.
Good lord, that's a lot of money.
Dude, it's a billion-dollar franchise. Almost $2 billion.
Well over a billion, yeah. But look, I can't blame him for cashing in. When I was worried about why we had an argument last week, well, a mini-argument about why this one is, like, I just don't see this one being any good. And, like, I walked away like, damn it, they were, like, they made a good choice because I thoroughly enjoyed it. But so let's talk about some of the characters here. Poe, sure. Obviously.
Absolutely.
He's replies. Jack Black is, I mean, needs no introduction. Jack Black is Jack Black. Especially after Bowser, he's on a high right now. And it's
good.
And it's fine because he's a great performer of many
here,
ways.
Here's the thing with Jack Black, and I will share one thing about him. So Jack Black apparently is like the nicest dude in the world. Like he's the guy that takes all the pictures with all the kids. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody comes up to him and asks to sign him, he's the guy that will sign it all. He won't tell anybody no. And, like, I respect the hell out of that because, like, Jack Black's not a young man anymore.
No.
You know, and he just loves what he does so much. He feels that it's, like, his obligation to do that, which, listen, it's not. And thank you for all the stuff you do past that. But, like, that really matters to him.
I think so. And it matters to us as well because it's – How the public views you is, I think, important. Is more movie stars need to understand that that's a big part of your existence as a famous person, is how the world views you. You know, and I think Jack Black does it with grace, and, you know, he does it well. A lot of movie stars don't handle it well. You know, I'm with my own two eyes witnessed a lot of, you know, on these movies that I work on, a lot of huge, huge names that simply are just, they're not nice to people.
No, they're just dickheads.
And it sucks because people just want you to, like, acknowledge that you heard them shouting to you from a crowd. Like, sometimes that's enough to make someone's like, oh, dude, one day Vin Diesel winked at me and he smiled at me. Like, that's a story they will tell forever. But I tell you, when Vin Diesel does not do that, when he was in Pittsburgh, he was very, very cold to people. He was downright mean to people. And that's something that I cannot get behind. I cannot get behind that. But Jack Black is the opposite. So we're great. But let's get back into Kung Fu Panda 4 is... So, you know, we always talk about the Shrek syndrome of comedy being delivered, but it's hitting kids and hitting adults in two different ways.
Yes.
Is that going on here? Because, like, I got the feeling that the comedy here wasn't more than, like, surface deep.
No. See, that's the thing with this movie, is where I consider a bunch of the movies we watch that I enjoy family movies. I think this is a kid's movie. Like, this humor... You know, there is very little that goes over the kid's head and only hits the adults. They just don't have that much here. And I mean, that's okay. That's okay. But, like, this is not that type of movie. You know, this isn't like Shrek 2 level of, like, pop culture references. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not there. So.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if that was a good choice or a bad choice to make it purely a kid's movie. I mean, it's done quite well. And maybe they want to keep it in that realm of purely kids movies. I don't think like Mike Myers is the kind of guy that you kind of anchor that behind because he's kind of a raunchy guy anyway.
Sure.
But Jack Black's not that guy. That's the thing.
He certainly could be. You know, I've certainly seen some, you know, the Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, which is an R-rated comedy.
That's about as R-rated as you get.
Very fucking funny.
Yeah, it is. Something about gargling mayonnaise. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Choking the balls. Yeah, I do remember
the
that.
Parts you picked out.
sorry. I thought I remembered that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, I'm looking at Jack Black now, and like his picture on IMDb, it looks exactly as I would expect the person voicing Poe to look.
Well, yeah, I mean, like right now, if it's the same picture that I saw earlier where like his beard's all big and like there's big white streaks in it, like he looks awesome.
He looks like a sage that just crawled out of the forest after waking up from a 100-year nap or something. Yeah,
he looks like a panda that just got out of hibernation.
Yeah, it's literally.
Like, hello, I have returned.
Hello, give me some.
They eat bamboo.
Bamboo. Yes, please. Well, I was trying to say, what is he eating the thing? He eats a...
Dumplings.
He loves dumplings. Yeah, that's it.
Now listen, I had some dumplings today. I fucking love dumplings.
Mm.
I really do.
Dumplings are delicious.
Steamed or fried, baby. I'll take them either way.
Mm. Hey, let's talk at Mike Mitchell for 1 second, just because.
You love some good Chinese food. Let's talk about Chinese food for the next few minutes.
You're thinking about Chinese food right now, aren't you? Like,
no,
you
so I had, so like every Sunday I have Chinese food.
There you go.
So like it's like one of my consistents in my life, and I did some beef and broccoli today. Hadn't had that in a minute.
Dude, beef and broccoli, that's my go-to beef and broccoli. Like, I love
what
it.
What a solid, you know, solid mix.
You get like an egg roll with it? Yeah, it's a very solid choice.
Egg roll, a little bit of white rice on the side. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, and of course. It's.
I'll eat the rest of it for lunch tomorrow.
Damn good meal. Damn good meal. Now, Mike Mitchell is a name that like I couldn't quite, I knew him for something. I couldn't quite place it. But
Pete Mitchell Maverick.
No. I mean, yes and no. But Mike Mitchell has also done... he did the Lego Movie 2, the second part. He did Trolls.
Not very good.
Yeah, well, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, Shrek Forever After. Funny we bring up Shrek because he did that one as well. He seems to live in the animated world. Alvin and the Chipmunks, SpongeBob.
Okay.
He seems to live... You know, he actually did Sky High, which I think is a phenomenal movie.
Look, we talked about Sky High quite a bit. Like, I have an affinity for Sky High.
I love it.
It's a very good movie. And I always would have loved a follow-up to Sky High. And I'm not saying like I need a gritty Sky High reboot because like I'm here for things like that. But I thought the idea behind the original Sky High movie was pretty damn good.
The movie was it was stupidly charming. That movie was great with Kurt Russell and
had a great cast.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, let's talk about Awkwafina for 1 second as Jen.
Sure.
What are we thinking about? I mean, she kind of lives. She did Rey and the Last Dragon. Like, she's been in this realm for a while now.
Everything that is Asian culture themed, I think Awkwafina is contractually obligated to be part of. Better or for worse.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it, right? She did Rey and the Last Dragon. She did this. She did Shang-Chi.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She wasn't Shang-Chi, wasn't she?
Yep.
She was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians, yep.
She's in Migration, which I'm sure plays that
all character. Pretty good movies. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, like she's just listen. I mean, I don't have a problem with Awkwafina. I never.
Oh,
really
you know
have.
What? She was also in The Bad Guys. Talk about another like sleeper hit.
Also, The Bad Guys was a great movie. Like that movie is underappreciated for how awesome it was.
I don't know if it's a 10, but it's damn close. An eight or
as
nine.
High as you, it's pretty high for just standard animation, man. Like, it is good.
That movie's incredible. I forgot about how good that was. And yeah, she does Rey and the Last Dragon. She was in the Angry Birds movie, which I didn't particularly love, but a lot of stuff, right? And she does have a very
distinct voice as well.
She does, and I don't want to like linger on a lot of these, but like I also really did enjoy Viola Davis as the Chameleon, Dustin Hoffman as Shifu, Bryan Cranston as Lee, and who's the other father? Is it Han? Right, Lee and Han.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what's his face? From the Goonies. What's his he was in Everything Ever All Once. Who was he in the Goonies who held all the contraptions taped to him? Who was that? What's his name?
Quan. Yeah.
Yeah, Kwan voices him. But yeah, like the two dads, which I thought were great. Not as political as it could have been either. So I'm happy about that. I do think this movie's got some magic to it. And there's a lot of, I mean, Mr. Beast also voiced Panda Pig in this one. I didn't know Mr. Beast was doing voice acting right now, but he is. And so Seth Rogen.
I sort of know who Mr. Beast is.
Yeah, he's a YouTube guy. The YouTube guy.
Like the very rich YouTube guy that gives away money.
Yeah,
I know him.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, that's Mr. Beast. But yeah, so the voice stylings are, I think, very loved here. I think it's important that we don't forget the voice stylings too. But I mean, I don't quite know. This movie, without Jack Black, though, does this movie do anything? What if they had proposed it? He said, you know what? I did three. I'm not really into that stuff right now. And someone else had voiced Poe. Would it be nearly as successful right now?
No, and I don't think they would ever do that. I think without Jack Black, they don't make this movie at all. I'm not saying that would always be the thing, but if you know your main character, who is you know synonymous with Kung Fu Panda, if he says no, I think you just have to scrap the whole project.
I think you're right, or just delay it or whatever. But
yeah, or you know, like maybe you know, listen. Obviously, there's 8 years between this project. Maybe he was like, you know what? I'm happy to revisit the character. You know, I'm sure he gets some sort of script approval for these things. You know, so like, I'm fine. If he wants to voice Poe, fine. I will never say no to that. They're fine. They're serviceable films. Sure.
I mean, just until they stop making money, which this one might be the last one because it's not. I don't think it's going to hit the 500 or 600 height that the other ones did.
No, but it is also less than the other ones. You did ask me to get budget, so let me look at those real quick. But like the budget for this one is, I believe, if I believe this, this one is quite a bit smaller than the previous few. Yeah, only 85 for this one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Which is, for an animated movie that looks as good as this one does, it's pretty good.
So the original Kung Fu Panda, the first one, cost him $130.
My goodness, man. That's, I mean, back then, too.
Kung Fu Panda 2 was $150 million. So, yeah, they really... And $145 million. So they made this about $50 million less than the other movies on average. So good for them, you know.
Yeah, I mean they pulled it off, and it's not doing gangbusters, but it's doing enough to I think justify its existence. Hey, and maybe
it's number one 2 weeks in a row, and it knocked off Dune.
That's true.
It has more weeks at number one in the United States than Dune does.
That's true, but also Dune's is a different case, though, because, I mean, generally speaking, for every one ticket sold for Dune, you have to sell two for Kung Fu Panda because the child wants an adult with him. So, sure. I don't know how much of that is actually true, but certainly there's a little bit of inflation when it comes to that, those numbers.
Well, you definitely generate, you know, a different kind of audience to come watch the movie, so.
Yeah. So let's talk about the plot.
You mean a lot of 7 or 8 year olds aren't super interested in the geopolitical thriller that is Dune 2?
You know, I would imagine
those kids are fucking wrong.
I mean, I would imagine not, but hey, I've been wrong before. Maybe they're really ahead of their time, sure. And really into it. But let's talk about the plot for 1 second of Poe having to travel to, what was this place called?
Juniper City,
which was quite pretty, by the way, with animation style. It looked very, very good. And he had to, again, subdue the bad guy, and he had to learn a lesson, which I would have thought, given the other three movies, he would have already learned.
Yeah.
No, but I guess not. But it's, again, the movie kind of plays out generically, too, as I remember when I was leaving my seat. Like, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that I had a grin on my face the whole time. I had a good time, but I feel like this movie's about as generic as you're going to get with the Kung Fu Panda movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really like to write home about special in this movie. It's just not.
We have a couple different storylines. You have Poe's story, is you know he with Jen, and then being betrayed. Then you have his two dads, which are falling behind him, and they also have that comedy silence. They're
afraid for him, yeah.
And then in a movie like this, you inevitably have the reoccurring comedy themes. Like, I mean, my favorite was the two monkeys that stole, that kept stealing people's pants. I thought that was pretty funny. It had me laughing. Several times you saw them, I was laughing each time, and that's, I think, the important part.
Yeah, stealing people's pants is always funny. Or like the little rabbits that just attack everybody.
Or just want death, destruction, and mayhem.
Yeah, they pull out knives and chant violence, violence, violence.
Reminded me of the, what were those in the Mitchell's versus the Machines in the mall? What are the Furbies?
Furbies.
Yeah, that was, yeah. There might be those Furbies, but... Yeah, a lot of the reoccurring themes for the comedy, I thought was, well, it was tasteful enough.
Yeah,
nothing. I think that, like, in my mind right now is Thor Ragnarok. In my mind is like what you don't do,
No.
With the goats?
You do not do.
With the goats over and over again. Yep. Like, it's funny the first time. Maybe the second time, but it gets old quick.
It's never funny the fifth time.
That's correct. It's never funny never. The fifth time. Never. You are correct about that. But ultimately, I don't know how to... I really hope we do get another one of these because I like them, but I feel like DreamWorks would be better off putting this money to other projects at this point.
Well, I mean, we know what their next project is.
The Wild Robot, right, of course.
Wild Robot, which is fine. Looks expensive. Probably is expensive.
Yeah, animation isn't cheap.
You got to assume, too, though, that they're probably looking for a new franchise to bank on, and maybe Wild Robot is that, because if your team like DreamWorks, the other thing, too, is DreamWorks did just do a sequel that most people don't know about. I don't know if you knew about it. You know they did the Megamind sequel.
But no.
They only put it on streaming on Peacock.
No, but was it the same voice cast?
Same, you know what? I'm not 100% sure.
There's no way that Brad Pitt and Will Ferrell did the sequel and they didn't advertise. There's no way that happened.
Let's see.
I would be very surprised to learn that they did. Here, I'll just type in Megamind.
Let's see. It's Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate.
Yeah, I'll be very surprised if they...
It's got a 10 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It does not have anywhere near the same voice cast.
Nope, 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 nope. It does not. Adam Lambert, though.
Yep.
Tony Hale.
It's got Tony Hale.
Yeah, Tony Hale.
Eric Fogel. And I don't know who any of these other people are.
Eric Murphy, who looks like a suave, handsome son of a gun. I don't know how he's like actively, but... yeah, I don't know any of those people, to be honest. Oh, Josh Brenner. Yeah, he's done a lot of things lately. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if anyone else. So it couldn't have been. But it has a 10 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It does.
I love the original Megamind, though. It's a shame.
The original Megamind is actually pretty clever.
It's very good, yeah.
It's what, Will Ferrell and...
Brad Pitt.
And no, somebody else, the female lead. I don't remember.
Oh.
Isn't it like Reese Witherspoon?
I don't remember. That was in like... Megamind, yeah, 2010.
It was 2010, 2009.
Who was the voice? Who was the female voice? Oh, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, okay.
Okay, hold on. Here it is. Will Ferrell, Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt, Tina Fey, David Cross, Ben Stiller, Justin Thoreau, Tom McGrath, Ella Stiller, which I'm sure is one of Ben Stiller's child, J.K.
Simmons.
Mike Mitchell did a voice.
Yeah, hey.
We've come full circle. But like, yeah, you're right.
Did he direct? Did Mike Mitchell direct?
He did not. Tom McGrath did.
Okay.
Tom McGrath did. And Tom McGrath also voiced Lord Scott. So, but that's kind of similar, I guess. But it's a shame that the sequel is... Because I actually like that one a lot, too. What was the other one around that time? The Monsters versus Aliens?
Yeah. That was okay.
That did quite well for itself. That was Reese Witherspoon. That one I do remember. But back to Kung Fu Panda 4, if we can. The thing about this is like here's the thing about this, and I'm not usually the guy that does this. Is if you package this all up and say, Grayson, do we get another one of these? I say we don't. But you say
you're probably right. Well, here's the thing. You are probably right. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Kung Fu Panda 5 and it ends with him having a family and like that's the end of the Kung Fu Pandas as we know it. And then if they do something with it later on and everybody's older, the kids are doing stuff, and then you do whatever you want. Like that's totally, totally fine. I would be shocked if this is the last one that we get. That's all. But here's the thing. I also would have said after 3, I would be shocked if we ever would have got another one.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Was we didn't need it.
But since we got 4, I think we get 5. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I totally understand. I definitely understand what you're saying. And if this thing somehow manages to eke out another $200 million in the box office, I'm sure we'll get it. I just don't see it doing that. Given what's coming out in the next few weeks, I just don't see it doing that. But it could, certainly. I mean, there's not a lot of kids content.
I mean, there are no more. Yeah, I don't really see any more kids stuff on the radar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not particularly.
I'm also surprised, and this is becoming more and more part of the mainstream conversation, is there is so many things kids can watch at home on the various streaming services that parents can. I'm amazed that these movies are still making this amount of money. And I say that as like, of course, we have to. Now that streaming is a part of everything, we have to adjust and change and
you know, the industry changes with it. So,
you know, we talk all the time about the amount of garbage that Netflix puts out for regular movies. Here's the thing. They put out just as many animated things as anything else, and no one cares about them if they're good or bad because it's only the kids watching them. You know what I mean? Like, they have their own, they have a bunch of series. Like, they have DreamWorks series. They have, like, they have Pokemon and stuff like that, which I'm not saying the Pokemon stuff is bad. It's actually pretty good. But, like, they have their own set of cartoons, like what we would consider just cartoons, you know, the animated stuff in general now. So there's plenty of that out there.
No, and I totally understand
every
that,
streaming service I subscribe to has a kids only section with just animated stuff in it, which with originals and, you know, stuff that they've acquired to have on their platform. So,
which I know you, me, Chris sometimes go down the rabbit hole on these episodes about, you know, streaming and how it affects everything. And like, I know we've, it's not my intention now, but I've had some really interesting conversations, even being in LA for only a few weeks now. Is I've had some really great conversations with people who are just as baffled as we are that, and it's my whole thing is, And I had a long conversation with someone agreed with me recently, and someone, I'll talk to you and Chris about it, super high up in the structure of things, and I said, if Netflix and Amazon were putting out banger after banger, and all the animated stuff they were putting out was like amazing, theaters have been dead a long time ago.
Sure,
we're lucky they're not. And the guy agreed with me. He's like, yeah, you're 100% right. That's right. I work with them all the time, and that's the common thing around the water cooler is, why are theaters still hanging on? Well, because the content you put out is absolutely shit.
Well, that's why. Not all of it. No, that's unfair to say.
Sure, and I understand that. Sure.
For every one thing you guys do right, you do 10 things that are worse. Like as bottom of the barrel as they get. You know?
And which is
for
why...
every extraction we get a me time.
Well, for
we get 10 me times.
Yeah, I was gonna say, for every extraction we get 12 me times.
Yeah.
Which are absolutely a waste of time and money. Like, I'm the guy who loves movies. I don't think it's a waste of time and money. It's just, wow. When you get massive budget.
I've known we've gone down this road a long time. A lot of this stuff, too, some of those Netflix movies are slogs, and they are a waste of time. Like, from a viewing perspective, anyway. Like, Yes Day? Come on, bro. No. What's the one we just watched with Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner? What one was that? Where they switch places?
The Family Switch or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That movie's atrocious. Like, I
that
can't...
movie had incest jokes.
That movie's... Well, I mean, we're getting far off the Kung Fu Panda thing, but I think it's...
But here's the thing, though. I can actually bring it back around. So the thing you know, to just cap off the point that we're making here, is for all these things, so those are family movies. Like, that's the stuff that, you know, some companies want you to sit around with your family and watch because it's like, ha-ha, funny. And it just misses the mark so badly. So when we find something like Kung Fu Panda 4, which is above average and mostly entertaining, you know, I'm happy to see it. Like, look, I don't have to dig deep into the plot. It's not hard. It's not too much, you know. There's no points that I didn't get by watching this movie. Like, I understand it all from start to finish, very linear. And that's totally fine. You just have to do it so it's not a piece of crap. And people will happily go watch it in a movie theater and pay however much money you're charging per ticket. So, as you know, as this movie will again, because it will be number one again this week. So,
yeah, I mean, it's
happy to be there and watching it.
You're right, though, to cap it all off. You're right. And I really need to not be so harsh. And so, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just the majority of stuff that they put out is just not up to snuff. It's just not okay. It's just not good. It's just a lot of very talented people work on them. So I hate to say it like that, but it's just what it is. But yeah, I'm amazed with all the talent.
Lot of very talented baseball players strike out a lot.
Okay, fair point. Fair point indeed. Yeah, that's definitely right about that. Anyway, so let's just, you know, bring the conversation back and like start to cap off Kung Fu Panda 4 here is let's talk about the theater experience in Kung Fu Panda 4 though too is
sure.
It's also I think it would be kind of I think it would be irresponsible to not include if you're talking about Kung Fu Panda 4 of how good of a time you had is. Would you have a good... I wouldn't have as good a time if I were watching that for the first time on my, you know, albeit 65-inch TV at my place, but I have a better time watching it in the theater, better sound, better picture. You know, the jokes hit you harder because, you know, you hear them, they're more clever. Let's talk about that for 1 second, too. Is that doing anything to help perpetuate kids' movies theatrically, or is that not much of a conversation anymore?
So I think that that's really not too much of a conversation anymore. Now, it's not like Dune, which is, you know, something for theater experience that I think we will continue to reach back on for a while. Where a movie like this, you know, kids are just happy to be there. You know, like they don't care about the sound, they don't care about the picture quality. Now, listen, I'm not saying the picture quality or the sound was bad in Kung Fu Panda. It just wasn't. You know, I don't think this is one you know, you have to be like, you could only watch this in the theater to get the Kung Fu Panda 4 experience. No, I don't think that's accurate. You know?
Yeah, you're probably right about that, actually. But,
you know, when this comes on to whatever streaming service a couple of months from now, it'll be fine. It'll look fine, sound fine. No one will make us think about that.
My official stance is, if it's theatrically released, you should watch it theatrical. That's never going to change. Even when theaters have been gone for 10 years, I'm still going to say that.
Yeah, I will never disagree with you. The theater experience for video quality and sound is always better. Now, look, you know, I will say this again, as I said 100 times, that gap is closed significantly in recent years.
It has. And I just listened to some sound systems at Best Buy last weekend that, I mean, blew my socks. I literally made my socks shake on my body because of how they were built in the bass. And like getting the full theater experience, one of the bigger Best Buys in California, you know, we're talking like 700 people in there at once, and it's a massive Best Buy, and the guy's just like, yeah, if you have the right settings, if you can afford it, he said, sound is pretty close to the theatrical experience. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't live in an apartment complex, he said, because everyone's gonna be watching the same thing you are if they want to or not. But yeah, it's really incredible what money can get you these days with sound. But I mean, you really have to spend upwards of $15,000-$20,000 to get that, and that's insane.
But no, I mean, depends on what you're into.
What it is. But yeah, so I mean, just so some closing thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4. Then that'll be, you know, talk all on the gamut.
Sure, closing thoughts. So like, I enjoy Kung Fu Panda 4. Like, I think it's a good kids movie. Like, I have no problem with it. I think it looks good, sounded good. You know, no character is, you know, too wacky or too weird for me to be able to be like, I can't get behind that. They're all fine. I think they're fine. So
I think so. And this is DreamWorks, right?
Yeah, of course.
Kung Fu Panda 4 to me isn't, and I'll just roll into my score with this, and then you can just score it afterwards. But Kung Fu Panda 4 to me is not one of the stronger DreamWorks things. Now, not to say it's bad, because DreamWorks is a pretty high bar of quality. I really appreciate that. They seem to really care about the story.
They have multiple Oscars for animation.
Yes, they do, and well-deservedly so as well.
Yes.
And many, many instances where they made people like me and Roger cry in the theater. So good for them. But
not this time.
Not this time. But this particular Journey for Poe did not make me cry. I don't think the other ones did either. But I'm always happy to see something from DreamWorks. And if it's got to be, even if it's a Kung Fu Panda 5 in 2.5-3 years, I'll be happy to watch it, because the quality is also the quality is usually pretty high. You know, you're going to get emphasis on story, and there's no way Jack Black's going to, if he said yes to a fourth, there's no way he's going to say no to a fifth. So
probably not.
At least I wouldn't think so. So, I mean, that being said, I really enjoyed my time in the Kung Fu Panda 4. I can't say I'm going to watch it again. Maybe on streaming, if I'm making dinner or something, I'll put it on and watch it.
Sure.
But to me, this is the epitome of a 5.5. It's very watchable, more so for kids, and that's fine. There's a lot of funny, a lot of, you know, people getting hit with things, and you know, Jack Black having epiphanies and saying silly things, and that's great. And I love that for the people that really kind of, you know, itches that fancy. But I mean, I really struggle because like the story's not great here.
No, it's not very. It's not the strongest story we've ever seen in a DreamWorks. That's for sure.
I think this is, and I think the first Kung Fu Panda was probably more of a 6, 6.5, or a 7 in that realm somewhere. And the other two were probably not too far off of that mark, maybe not as good. But so I think a 5.5 is where it sits with me. I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed my
carbonated soda beverage with popcorn. I had a good time. I enjoyed listening to the kids laugh and me myself laughing like an idiot. I enjoyed it. 5.5, 5.5
Sure. So I'm actually going to go a little bit higher. I think it's a 6. You know, like, there's nothing earth shattering here. This isn't going through like levels of entertainment and animation that we have never seen before. It is not that, but it's fine. Like, I don't, so just because I don't have anything excellent to say about this movie, I don't really have anything bad to say about it either. I mean, like, at all. It's pretty cookie cutter. I don't want to use the word generic here, but like, this isn't anything we haven't seen. You know, there's nothing new concept wise or animation style that we haven't seen before. Like, they relied on the funny jokes. You rely on Jack Black to do Jack Black things. You know, Poe to do Kung Fu and win all the fights. And he does. And he does it just fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of this movie. It's very watchable, very easy to get behind. And it's a 6. Like, you know, will I ever watch Kung Fu Panda 4 again? I can't tell you yes or no. But it's not the worst thing in the world if I did. I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have to be like, well, you have to pick one movie to watch and this is the only thing you watch again. Kung Fu Panda is not that, it's not bad at all. So 6 is fine.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, I think it's, I can see why people have a good time watching these. I myself had a good time. So yeah, I think 5.5 or 6, somewhere in that realm is very well deserved. Yes, indeed. Yeah,
happy to do it.
Again, I didn't want to watch it at all, and then I left like, yeah, okay, I could do a fifth one. Okay, yeah, so I'm on board.
I mean, listen, was I super pumped to be going to the theater to see Kung Fu Panda 4? Not really. You know, I went in like the middle of the afternoon on a Thursday. You know, wasn't a big deal, and it's fine. It's just fine.
And then sometimes that's all it is. It's just fine.
Hey, look, there are hundreds of movies that we have seen that I would have loved to tell them it's just fine and gave it a 6. Yeah. I swear to God.
That's all we ask for. Look, the motto of our show, what is it? I just hope it doesn't suck. And it didn't,
This goes right down that line to perfection, baby.
Yeah, baby, right
doesn't
there.
Suck, isn't bad.
Didn't waste my time. I smiled. I laughed. Yeah, it's all right.
I laughed. I had my drink and some popcorn. I left happy.
Yeah.
Fine.
It's all you can really hope for in these days with these.
Well, do you remember? So let me just pause our discussion before we close up. Do you remember the first movie I think we all three were at? But not together, but we all three were in the same show. Do you remember what movie that was? Because I do.
Was it Dumbo?
It was Dumbo.
I knew it.
So okay. I would love to tell you that Dumbo's a 6. It ain't. Dumbo's a piece of trash.
It was and bad.
Like, it's just bad. And I don't know why that sticks out to me, but like that movie's like supposed to be a family movie, right? You know, like one of the Disney classics reimagined, and it just doesn't work. So.
You know, that's also, now that you bring that up, and I don't want to, maybe just 30 seconds on this, is like, when you're looking at famous Disney movies to reimagine in live action, mm-hmm.
Dumbo would not have been that high up on the list for me.
No, but like, given how the original was, like, the original's pretty trippy, man.
It's dark.
It's dark, dark and it's trippy.
Well, it's like, super dark and pretty racist at times.
Yeah.
So, I get why they can't do some of that stuff, because it basically is about children drinking. You know, that's the whole Pink Elephants thing where they're all drunk. And, you know, most of the crows parts of it were all like racial epitaph of characters, you know, so they can't do that stuff. And I get it.
Wait, but what did you give it? I gave it like a 3, I think.
Yeah,
I
no, remember. It's bad. Look.
Did you say you gave it a 6?
No.
Oh, okay.
I said I would have loved to give
right, okay. I got you. Like, what the? Yeah,
Dumbo was awful, brother.
Yeah, and it didn't make it. I mean, I think it capped out at like 250 or something, too. Which for most movies is fantastic.
It cost them a ton of money to make that, too.
Yeah, that was what? Colin Farrell, mm-hmm. Eva Green, a couple of big stars in that, too. Yeah. But it's interesting you bring that up, because that one of those movies you thought would have been an easy 6.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Nope. It wasn't. So anyway, thank you, Roger, for joining us for this evening talking about Kung Fu Panda 4. This has been episode 374A.
Kung Fu Pandables.
Kung Fu Pandables, indeed. This has been episode 374A of 4, The Love of Cinema, a movie podcast. Each new episode posts every Tuesday and Friday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice of the following 6. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Please leave a comment or two, rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. More importantly, thank you very much for listening. Check out the show on Twitter at LoveCinemaPod. I'm at GraysonMaxwell1.
I am at Rod Stillion.
And Christopher Bond is not here, does not have a Twitter handle. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Always posting interesting news stories in the film industry on there as well. Send us an email to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next week, we're taking a look at Arthur the King with Mark Wahlberg and Damsel on Netflix with Millie Bobby Brown.
Dumbo was episode 116 almost 5 years ago.
Holy cow. Just before the pandemic, too.
Well, a year before.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still kind of before the pandemic, so.
No, it is, yes.